Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to Psalm 25, verse 16. Psalm 25, verse 16.
Psalm 25, verse 16 reads this way. It says, "Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we surely thank you for your presence amongst us tonight. We do pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives, Lord, would be empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be, and that your name would be honored and glorified in and through your church, Lord, as you have willed it and created it to do. And so, Lord, guide us in that, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "I am desolate." I am desolate. Or you can say maybe the desolation of God's people. But, you know, tonight as we look to our text, the feeling of desolation sometimes enters into the life of a believer. I don't know if you've ever been there, but the psalmist surely is saying that. He says, "I am desolate. I am destitute. I am in a very difficult place in my life." And this is David here, the psalmist, and of course, he had troubles from without fighting him, but he also had troubles from within trying to overthrow him. So he had troubles on every side, and sometimes that happens in life, but yet the Lord is still in control, amen? But sometimes we need to be reminded that when we're in a hard place. And so tonight, as we consider our text, I want to remind you that in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Who is that? That's the Lord, right? And so we thank the Lord for that. Matthew 28:20 says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he's with us. And then Isaiah 49:14 says this, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me." This is Israel. They said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." So boy, oh boy, listen, if our names are engraven upon the hands of God, isn't that something? God never forgets us. He said, listen, a nursing mother may forget her child. I don't think any nursing mother in her right mind would ever forget her child. That is 24/7, isn't it? And yet the Lord says, she might forget, but I will never forget. And we know that they're not going to forget. So tonight, as we look at our text, I want us to consider three reasons why we should come to the Lord when we feel desolate, right? When we feel destitute. First of all, the Lord is approachable. Don't you like that? The Lord is approachable. Secondly, the Lord is good and upright. And then the last thought is, the Lord is the keeper of our soul. So back up with me to verse 1 here in chapter 25, or the 25th division of Psalms. And notice what it says. He says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." So David's engaging the Lord in prayer. He's talking to him. He says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Again, remember, he's got troubles from without and he's got troubles from within. And notice what he says here. "Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed which transgressors without cause." Notice, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So in spite of feeling desolate and destitute, he knew to go to the Lord, amen? Whenever we're hurting, whenever we're confused, or whenever we might even have doubts or concerns, we need to bring them before the Lord. He's the one that can calm our hearts and bring peace to our souls like nobody else can. You will not find the answers to life. I know this is going to be hard to believe, but you will not find the answers to life, get ready, on the internet. You're not going to find it there. In fact, what you will find is a distraction. I'm not against the internet, but the internet can take you for a ride and distract you and keep you going after just good information, even possibly, but not draw you near to the Lord. And so God is the one that can do things for our soul like nobody else can. And by the way, the internet was created by man, and God allowed it, obviously, but mankind does not have the answers for our souls, for our eternal being. And so he says this, verse 6, he says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies." Isn't that good? So the Lord never forgot them. I think David just needed to say that. I need your mercy is what he's saying, Lord. I need understanding. "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." That's a good thing. So this is the plea of David. Lord, Don't remember my sins in my past. Don't remember all the things that I've done that are wrong. Lord, remember your tender mercies. Remember your mercy and your grace toward me. And then as David is making this prayer, he's also going to reflect. He says, "Good and upright is the Lord." He remembers the Lord being good and upright. So now he's praising God. Do you think David could go back to a time when he was a young shepherd boy against a big giant? And do you think he could? Do you think he knew? Do you think David wondered when he went to go approach Goliath? Do you think he wondered, "I wonder if I'm going to win this one"? You think he thought, boy, this might be the end for me? No, he said, today, he told Goliath, "Today you will know that there's a God in heaven." And he told him today he was going to take off his head from off his body. And imagine this. I don't think he had a sword in his hand. Do you? No, he had a sling, and the giant must have thought, "You have no sword," forgetting that he had one himself that David was going to use. See, listen, David didn't have to worry about making preparation as long as he was walking with the Lord. The Lord would provide, amen, everything that is needed. And so the Lord certainly provided. He gave David the boldness. He gave David direction. He gave him wisdom and understanding in the midst of a conflict that David knew he was going to win. When it came time to fight, he didn't wobble and shake and was frightened on the way out there. The Bible says David ran toward the giant. Amen? And boy, can you imagine? See, you get a picture of David just standing there swinging a sling. No, he ran and was swinging his sling. So he was on the attack. Amen? Why? Because God was on his side. Amen? And God was empowering him to go forward and do this. So he says, "Good and upright is the Lord," verse 8. "Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." So as we consider this verse 8 here, 8 through 14, the Lord is good and upright. What does that mean? That means he's good to the sinful. Amen? To those who fall short. You know, there's forgiveness from the Lord when we genuinely confess our sins and want to repent. When we're truly sorry and we say, "Lord, I don't want to go that direction anymore. I know that's wrong. It's not good for me. It does not honor and glorify you. And so, Lord, I want to change my direction. And so, Lord, I need you in this. I want to change directions, but I have to look to you to change my direction and to strengthen me." Listen, I am convinced no man in their right mind, when David fought Goliath, in fact, they were all shaking in their sandals. I was going to say boots, but they were wearing probably sandals. They were shaking in their sandals, right? Until David came up there. Why? What was the difference with David? David had God. David had direction from the Lord. David had confidence in the Lord, and everybody else was shaking in their boots. God wants to give every believer confidence in the Lord. Amen? Isn't that good? God wants us to walk upright. Why? Because we are a glory to his name and a praise to his name when the world can see that we have confidence, not a hope so, not I think so, but a confidence that only God can give us in our God. So he says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, because God is good and upright, will he teach sinners in the way?" And that's what we are, amen? We're sinners, but we want to be in God's way, don't we? All right, so notice what happens here, verse 9. "The meek will he guide in judgment." What does that mean? The meek will he guide. Well, we want to walk in humility. We want to listen, Lord, the meek says, I need you. The meek doesn't look, the meek does this, ready? The meek doesn't look down on anybody, and the meek doesn't look up to anybody but God. You know, everyone that walks planet Earth is not better than anybody else. Their soul is just as valuable to the Lord as anybody else's soul. Isn't that something? And so when we contemplate that, we have nothing to be ashamed of and certainly nothing to be proud of. But we do have a God that we can be thankful for. And as we walk with this meekness, God says, watch what I'm going to do. Verse 9 again, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach whose way? His way. The meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Did you see that? Listen, if we are being led by the Lord, listen to what this word says here. Verse 10. All the paths of the who? Of the Lord. All the paths of the Lord are what? Mercy and truth. So if we are walking and following the Lord that wants to lead us, by the way, we are going to be merciful, we're going to be walking in mercy, and we're going to be walking in the truth. So if we're not walking in mercy and we're not walking in the truth of God, then we're not walking in the way of the Lord. So that's the opportunity to say, no, not that I need to try harder. God, I need your help. Lord, not just your help, I need your power in my life, right? I need you to guide me in this that I might experience your great grace. So he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. So do you see the condition there? Unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So we need to get off this idea, not that we, listen, you and I have in the Lord have overcome sin. That's right, isn't it? Now listen, it means we don't habitually walk in it. Doesn't mean that we will never sin. That's not what it means. But it means we don't make a practice of it. And the moment, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know how to liken this. Have you ever been driving a car and got distracted? And you know those bumps on the side of the road? You might hit one of them. And what does that cause you to do? Do you continue going in that direction, or does it straighten you out? You go, whoop, I went a little too far, right? And so our God is just that way. His mercy and his righteousness, his covenant is just that way. When we realize we've gone off a little bit, whoops, right? Lord, I need you to guide me. I need to walk upright. Why? Because I want to walk near to the Lord where my confidence comes from, where my comfort comes from, where my convictions come from. So I'm not getting hung up in what the world is saying, but I know what thus saith the Lord. Amen? And I'm confident in thus saith the Lord. And I have conviction about what the Lord is saying and not what the world or anybody else is saying if it doesn't line up with the Lord. So we need to be confident in our God because he is merciful and he's wanting to show us his way that we might walk in his path. And by the way, remember where we're at. Where are we with the Lord? We're engraven. You and I are engraven on the palms of his hand. Has he forgotten us? No. No. Now we can feel that way, but be assured, come back to the 25th Psalm and be reminded, as David was, that God can never forget us. And by the way, David was in a lowly place, but God gave him this Psalm that is now in the Word of God because of all the truths that are packed in there for you and I also to enjoy as David did. So as we consider this, he says, in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What a merciful God we have to forgive us of how many of our sins? All of them. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? You have a reverence, you have a respect for him. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. That word fear there means reverence. I hold up... You know what? I revere God more than any human being, and I believe you do too. Because there's no human being that can give you direction for life like God can. The world thinks they know what life is all about. God created it and knows what it's all about. And not only that, but he also knows what's on the next chapter of our lives when we leave this earth. Amen? God's got plan B as well as plan A. And I want you to know that plan B, believe it or not, is better than plan A. And so we're looking forward to that. I don't understand how that's going to happen, but because of salvation, I know I don't have to think about it. And you know also that it's true that God has eternity waiting on the horizon for you and I. And we praise the Lord for that. So we want to walk in His way. So he says, the man, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him or reverence him. The secret listen, there was a secret David knew that Saul and the whole army, even David's brothers, didn't know, that was with the Lord, that was with David. Isn't that amazing? And God wants us to know that secret as well. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Listen, those of us who are engraven on his hands, which is all the redeemed, right? God wants to show us his covenant. Not just to show it to us, but to show us how it works and how it takes place in the life of every believer. All we have to do is fear the Lord or reverence him. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever forward. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Who's going to take us out of the net? The Lord. Oh, not ourselves? You mean not the information on the internet that we're going to, you know, whatever we do? Oh my goodness. You know, that's how people walk around today. Right? That's how people, I'm watching this individual, driving off the road, and you look, and they're like this. That's crazy. Like this. Listen, this will kill you. Amen. This will kill you on the highway, and the Lord won't. You know, you can talk to the Lord and keep your eyes on the road. Amen. You can recite scripture that will encourage you, and never miss a beat. And so listen, there's a lot of distractions there, and be mindful of this. The prince and power of this world is Satan, and he is seeking to destroy you and I, because we are made for the glory of God and in the image of God. And he hates us. He is not anybody's friend. He is not anybody's friend. He is the enemy and the destroyer. So he says, again, verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Now, he is asking the Lord to do something because of where he's at in his heart and in his mind. And why would you ask somebody that couldn't help you? Do you think David had a little confidence when he asked the Lord for this help? Lord, I want you to know where. Listen, did God know where David was before David started talking to him? Absolutely. But you remember, it requires faith on our part when we feel that way to bring these needs up before the Lord, because that faith honors and glorifies the Lord, and then he meets us in that. So again, as we consider this, we want to see that the Lord is the keeper of our soul. So notice again, verse 17 here. He says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Who's going to bring us out of the distresses? Oh, it's not the news on the radio or on the TV. It's not our next door neighbor. Who's going to bring us out? It's not Dr. Phil or Oprah Winfrey. Oh, no, I'm a little outdated. But anyway, here's the whole thing. There's the people on the TV do not have the answers to life. Who has the answers to life? Amen. The Lord God. Notice again, verse 18, he says, look upon mine affliction. He's got affliction. He has distresses. In fact, verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. He's not taking any vengeance in his own hands. He's bringing it before the Lord. Oh, keep my what? The Lord is the keeper of our soul. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Amen. That's all that's needed. Trust and faith are back and forth, the same word. I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. Amen. Right? He's going to be there for us. And you can count on that. Why? Because he is good, he is merciful, and he is faithful. Amen. For how long? Forever. Amen? Forever. Forever. And then, very quickly, verse 21 and 22, he says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. That's all that's needed for us to look to the Lord. Redeem Israel, the people of God. Redeem Israel, O God, out of how many of his troubles? Out of all of his troubles. You think God would deliver you and I out of all of our troubles? Absolutely. If we'll come to him, he'll do it. Isn't that good? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great mercy and grace and goodness. And Lord, that you are faithful to keep us. In fact, we're engraven in your hands, and we do thank you for that. Lord, may we consider your word and your direction and your commandments by your grace and mercy, that you would enable us, Lord, to walk in them, that we might be found faithful when you return. Lord, draw us ever nearer and give us a heart that pants after you, and we'll give you all the praise. Bless as we break off for prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.